Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to builtbar.com and use the promo code LOCKED15 and you'll get 15% off your next order. All right, got a solo pod coming at you today. Just dug on here. No Adam. That's all right. Tons to talk about. Another win against the Pacers. Nets just continue to do it. Doesn't matter who throws on the Nets uniform, it seems these days. They just go out and have incredible, sort of eye-popping games. KD doesn't surprise you. He turns in a monster. Alize Johnson, 2020, getting to it all. What a game by the young man who came in a 10-day contract, signed a multi-year deal. And now is among the very few players this season to pour in a 2020. Also going to look at the Portland game coming up on Friday, what to maybe expect to see in that one. Going to cover it all, but first, the theme music.
You are Locked On Nets, your daily Brooklyn Nets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, welcome back to the Locked On Nets podcast and the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every single day. I'm Doug Norrie, owner-operator, you know the drill, DFSR.com. That's daily fantasy sports rankings, but you don't want to type all that out. DFSR.com for short, head on over. I've got you optimal lineups for FanDuel and DraftKings, NBA, MLB, NHL, it's all PGA, it's all covered there. So go over and check it out. Got you covered for all of your projection needs, and you know the NBA, it's just crazy these time of year with this with these projections. So head on over. We're doing the Lord's work on a nightly basis, trying to figure out what's going on with every single team. Nets, one of those teams that was like that tonight to some degree. No Kyrie Irving before we knew that going into this game. It's on the front end of the back-to-back, so there's some reason to maybe rest him going into that. I think he did have an injury tag related to the game. I don't remember exactly what it was. I don't think it was called exactly injury management in this case. But let's see. Yeah, it was a right groin injury. We'll see how serious it is when it comes into tomorrow when they take on Portland at home. Get the feeling it's one of these front end of the back-to-back things, and there's not too much concern with it. But the Nets go into this game against the Pacers, and it's just another win. I hate to bury the lead here. Started off with the Kyrie injury piece, but it's just another win for a Nets team that is, on every game that goes by, it is starting to feel like, as we get into these dog days of the season, the end of the year, the sort of the dregs. If you've been following it the whole entire season, it can be a lot of teams' fate has been sealed. We know the Nets are, in the playoffs at this point. It's a number one seed or bust, maybe, kind of thing. But it's just one of these situations where, and Adam and I have talked about it so many times, it just doesn't seem to matter who is playing for the Nets this season. They just continue to win. It's really, really crazy. As long as one of these other superstars is on the court, for the most part, these guys just continue to step up. And well, I'm going to devote an entire thing to Alize Johnson, so no one needs to worry about why I haven't brought up his game yet. It's that's going to be coming down the pike, so no worries there. But they play a Pacers team banged up in their own right for this game. They're without Domantas Sabonis. They're without Miles Turner right now. They're playing really, really shorthanded. Lost a couple guys during the game. So you're looking at a Pacers team that's below 500. They're fighting for that last play-in spot. Right now, they're currently ninth. They're probably going to stand to drop a little bit more as this goes. If they lost Brogdon with a hamstring injury, and the timetable on Sabonis still isn't totally clear, and they're without Turner for a while, I can't see this team really climbing. Again, that's kind of bad news. We talked about this with allowing a team like Toronto to maybe see a little bit of a window to be able to get into the back end of this playoff berth. But regardless, the Nets roll out here on Thursday against the banged-up Pacers team. They're still expected to win going in. We know there's not going to be Kyrie Irving. They elect to start Tyler Johnson. I thought it was probably going to be between Tyler Johnson or Mike James in terms of who got the start. Probably was TJ in the sense that he can play with Kevin Durant. Mike James, actually, for all the ball-handling skills, it was like it's one of those Chris Chioza things. You feel fairly confident with him running the second unit in a way that I don't think they probably thought TJ could do with the same sort of speed and maybe confidence around being on the ball a lot. Even if Mike James is, you know, undersized and it's not going to create his own shot a ton, he can still be on the ball a lot in a way Johnson really can't be at this point in his career. So TJ gets the start. They end up sort of playing around the same minutes, 25 minutes for James, 26 for TJ. But again, it's just like this is a Nets team where if you have Kevin Durant on the court, we're getting into broken record territory here, where you have Kevin Durant on the court, he's such an impossible matchup that for the opposing defenses, that especially when you're playing a team like the Pacers, who are down to their, you know, third or fourth guy at this point. O'Shea Brissett is getting a lot of minutes. He played really well tonight. Jakarr Sampson, who's an absolute foul box, is getting the start at center. Clearly, that's not really where they want to be with that position. They're the Pacers without Gogo Batase as well. So they're playing a super undersized, inexperienced, or just, you know, lesser front court here in the Pacers. And when that's the case, and you have Kevin Durant on your team, you are going to get picked apart. Because he's either going to crush you in the double teams, which the Pacers tried at times to do. It didn't really work. If it didn't work with the Raptors, with you know guys like OG Anunoby, Pascal Siakam, and dudes like this who are super long, really adept defenders, the O'Shea Brissett and Jakarr Sampson and you know poo-poo platter of guys that are going to get doubles or throw double teams at Kevin Durant is also not going to work. And they ended up just absolutely carving them up once again. And the game gets a little bit closer than you'd probably like it to be at one point. But for the most part, it starts off with basically just full dominance on the part of the Nets. And you just, I joked about a broken record here, but this is what happens when you get into this part of the season and you have a top, I mean, Kevin Durant, you just have to basically put him like top three player in basketball at this point, right? I don't know how much lower we're going to go with the list. Adam and I talked about this yesterday. Where are we going on the list? How many places lower is Kevin Durant? How can he be lower than fourth when he's fully healthy? I don't think so. LeBron's without a timetable return. If you're picking a place to start a championship run right now, you need to pick your team based on available players in the NBA. Where does Kevin Durant go in that draft? I think he's got to go. He doesn't go lower than third, I don't think. And it's, again, he plays 36 minutes, really good sign on the minutes. They probably didn't want to bring him back in near the game, but really, really good sign on the minutes. Usage rate through the roof, 24 shots overall, 16 for 24 from the field. Got his assist game on because when they bring those doubles, he's passing out of them with such consistency and speed around getting the ball out of his hand. The second those doubles come, the ball's out of his hand. Like they're either back cutting him, he's moving it back toward a reset around the three-point line, or he's finding someone at times in the mid-range, though that didn't happen as much. And you get a 42.10 assist line because opposing defenses are going to try to do this little stuff with him, and it's just like not really going to work. It's going to work a little bit. It's going to speed bump him maybe a little. I mean, it's not going to speed bump him with this group of personnel, so I don't think that was really ever in doubt. But it's not going to work over the long term because Kevin Durant's just too big, too smart, too good. And even if you just try to get a little fancy with him in terms of trying to make him uncomfortable, if you're not going to do it, execute it perfectly, he's going to do what he did to you on Thursday. Like what I said, 42 points, 10 assists, completely efficient. And that's just going to be the story for the Nets during this home stretch as long as KD can stay healthy. This is what happens when you have a top three, at worst, player in all basketball on your team. You're going to get impossible matchups. Other teams will have no clue what to do. They'll try to do different things with you. It's not going to work. It's awesome to watch. It's just amazing. It's not like we haven't seen Kevin Durant play before, but when you're a Nets guy, you know, you're a Nets fan here, it's the best Nets player that's ever played. That's pretty much point stop. I know it's his first season actually playing. It's the best player to ever suit up for an Nets uniform. You can say that unequivocally. It's not really even close to talk about at this point. There's people that have had great Nets careers. There's people that have had, you know, longevity or great seasons. But in terms of overall basketball talent, am I overstating this? I don't think I am. This is the best player to ever put on the Nets uniform. James Harden's going to be in that group, in that discussion too, when it's all said and done. When we just talk about even just single season, one or two seasons worth of basketball, just best players to ever take the court for the Brooklyn Nets, the list is going to be pretty darn short. And if you're a Nets fan right now, you're just getting to see Kevin Durant play on a nightly basis. And the announcers tonight during the game did a good job of saying, you know, these, you know, pull-up jump shots, whether he's wide open, they're layups. They're layups for this guy. That's it. When you have a player in your team that is can use the mid-range as a basically automatic bucket, the amount of players that can, in the NBA that can do that is really, really few. He's one of them. If those are layups, and actual layups are layups, and corner threes are layups, and everything like this is just layups, guys, smaller guys in your face that you can elevate over are layups from all over the court. When you're just essentially a layup machine from everywhere, you're talking about singular talent. You're talking about a guy that doubles aren't going to mean anything. You're going to get a guy that just drops an absolute awesome line on the Pacers, and that's the end of the story. So we're going to get to some of these other moments in the game here, some other performances. Got to talk about our boy here, Alize Johnson. My goodness gracious. First, going to talk to you about our friends over at Bet Online. Look, right now, it's a great time of year. I told you the NBA is just crazy every single night with the minutes. MLB in full swing. NHL going too. NFL draft going on as we speak. That's where Adam is right now. It's all got you all covered there over for you on Bet Online. Kentucky Derby this weekend. Also, go over to Bet Online right now. You're going to get all your betting needs handled there. It's also going to give you news, odds, everything you need for every single sport you can imagine, every prop bet you could ever think of. It's all available on Bet Online. Go over with your laptop, mobile device, check out all the great sporting stuff they have, sign-up bonuses, contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. And this is your chance to get into the game as teams prep for the run to the playoffs like our Brooklyn Nets. Head over onto the website and sign up today to receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit, but you have to use the promo code LOCKEDON, just like our podcast network. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. All right, Alize Johnson time. Here we go. Nets fans, if you were drooling about this guy, which I think Nets fans have been doing that since he basically signed the first 10-day contract with the team, because the energy level is so high, the instincts are really good. He's an undersized four. We've seen this before happen with the Nets. Typically the kind of guy the team signed at this point of the season, because when you're an undersized four that doesn't have much range, you are not going to be a guy that teams look at to add to fill out your rotation, because that's just not how the NBA is played. Now, that being said, there's a place for these guys, because when you're at this point in the season and you need warm bodies and you need a lot of energy and you need good instincts, it becomes really helpful to have these guys to eat in a chunk of minutes, because at that point, you don't need the perfect basketball player. You need someone that's going to go over there, out there, not kill you on either end of the court or either end of the ball. They're going to, you know, play their absolute heart out. They're going to maybe play a little bit bigger than their size. And that's exactly what Johnson did. And we kind of got a feeling as this game went on that something was brewing here. The rebounds were coming fast and furious, especially up and through the third quarter, where it was there was kind of a thought that there was a 20-20 possibility here. And at one point, I actually thought that the Nets, this was earlier in the game, I think this is like his 14th rebound or something, and I'm pretty sure it was KD who just gave up the rebound, because they both had a beat on it, and Alize went up for it, and KD kind of backed off. And that was the point I was like, oh, I think these other guys have the feeling too, like this could happen. Because it's you need to pile on, especially the rebounds early in a game to really have a chance at it. But he was getting baskets around the rim also. So he was in double-double territory before halftime. Before they even hit halftime, he was already in a double-double. And so in the third quarter, he's sitting there with like 15 and 17 or something like that, with a little bit of the third and the entire fourth quarter to play, and you're thinking, man, this is going to be, he might do it. And 2020 is such a rare thing. 2020 is reserved for the Andre Drummonds of the world, the Clint Capellas. These are the guys that get 2020s. Actually, I'm just going to read you the list, because before today, I looked this up, did a quick query in the database, the 2020s this season, among active players, well, just they had to be active to get 2020 games, is going to be mostly a list of guys that you would expect to hear. So this is the list. Some of these guys are on there multiple times. Drummond has three. Clint Capella has three. Sabonis has one. Cantor has two. Jonas Valanciunas has three. Randomly, Keldon Johnson in there with one. Moses Brown had a huge one for OKC. Jokic had one. And then Gobert had three. That's your list of guys with 2020 games this season. Notice the theme? These guys are like all 7-footers, basically, except for Keldon Johnson. These are basically all 7-foot around the basket centers. And then there's Elise Johnson. And the other key part of this too, which is really interesting and makes this even more impressive, is that he did it in just 32 minutes. Now, that's like the low end of what this list looks like. Most times it's like around 35 up to 40 minutes, because you got to be on the court a ton to be able to rip down mostly the rebounds. You got to be on the court a ton to rip down 20 rebounds. So that in and of itself takes a lot. I know I keep saying Alize and Elise. I'm getting confused on his name. It's because I said it wrong once, and then now I'm flopping back and forth about where the emphasis is on the wrong syllable or whatever. So my bad about that. So regardless, we kind of get the idea that he has a chance at this. 32 minutes in, and it took him to the very end. They got the 20th rebound, I think, with only 2 minutes left to go in the game. Got the putback for the basket to get his 20th point. The Nets guys are rightfully really, really excited about it, and it's just awesome. I mean, what a story. This guy was brought in because the Nets really just needed bodies. They needed a few bigs. They got Claxton out now for all protocols. They got Reggie Perry's out. LaMarcus Aldridge obviously retires. And so they just keep not being able to keep guys in and around. And they just clearly don't want to play DeAndre Jordan at this point. So he kind of just, again, the whole story is next man up. And he gets next man up territory. Gets to play his 32 minutes. I think he probably played those minutes mostly because they saw the 2020 in sight and wanted to keep him out there. I'm not sure he ends up playing all 32 if it's not there, because I think they maybe try to get someone else into the game, or they just kind of rotate him out and just don't want to overextend the minutes or whatever it's going to be. But regardless, dude, this guy's going to go down. It's less than 20 total games of 2020 this year. And I told you, a lot of these guys are multiple offenders when it comes to the 2020 game. So the list of dudes that have actually done it is like, what, seven total guys? And now Alize Johnson's one of them. That's so awesome. It is so awesome that these are the stats that we're going to look at for this team. And it's just indicative of what's happened all season with this team. Yes, they have superstars. Yes, we have three of the best superstars in all of basketball on the team right now. They also have a group of role players who are among the best role players in basketball. Joe Harris, guy any team would want right now to make a championship run. Okay, Landry Shamet has stepped up huge. And then you have Jeff Green's played awesome this season. I mean, the athleticism he's brought, that he's kind of turned back the clock with some of this stuff, trying to posterize guys on every single night. It's just this theme of they'll have role players that any team would want. And then they have end-the-bench guys that any team would probably want at this point, too. Tyler Johnson steps in, starts, shoots 3 for 8, scores 11 points, played really well. Mike James comes out of nowhere, playing really quality minutes. Shot like 0 for 7 tonight. It was bad in that respect. Still was a +7 on the game. Had some great looks. It was clearly not the best game. He's had four turnovers as well. But still, we saw him play really well the other night. And then we have Johnson, who just drops a 20-20 on him out of nowhere. Yeah, it's late season basketball. Sure, it's a little blah territory. Sure, you're playing a team that's got Brissett and Jakarr Sampson as the inside bigs and kind of no one else, like running Doug McDermott at the four. Who cares, man? They've played so many games this season. There's been so few 2020s. We know he signed a longer-term contract. The money's not all guaranteed over the next couple of seasons, so it's going to be what it is, but he's going to be on the team. And if you know this guy is around here with this kind of energy, it's in him. He's got an imperfect game. He doesn't have necessarily a game built for the modern NBA. Again, he's not going to see many minutes when it comes to the playoffs. He's just not the kind of guy that they're going to want on the court. But for right now, with the other guys that are out of the mix, when you need someone to bring energy, when you need someone to absolutely just, give everything they have on the court because you're trying to just still beat the Pacers. You'd like to keep the Pacers probably out of the playoffs as well, if we're just really thinking about it, if they're going to get healthy at some point. Like, this is just an awesome, awesome, awesome performance. And like I said, when it comes to the 2020 game, it's just not something that is done. And it's definitely, outside of that one Keldon Johnson game, it's not done out of guys this size. It's done out of those huge 7-footer sort of plodding guys that hang out at the basket, get their big arms in up on balls, tip them in. That's how they get to 2020. They just kind of hang around there and they just have the size. And then you have Johnson, who is what, 6'7", 6'8", something like that. I'll look it up real quick. Is he even that big? I'm saying this as I look it up. Not good podcast. A real professional would stop and just and make a scene. Yeah, 6'7". 6'7" guy brought in on a short-term contract because they needed bodies, and then becomes one of a few handful of players who drop a 20-20 in a game this season. Awesome, awesome story. All right, we're going to talk about some endgame stuff here, talk about looking ahead over the weekend. First, got to talk to you about our friends over at Built Bar, the very best protein bar on the market right now. Point, stop, no debate. Built Bar, you're not even going to know it's a protein bar. You're going to get this stuff fully covered in chocolate. The flavors sound like ice cream flavors. But then you look at the stats. Adam and I love stats, obviously. And the stats, just you can't compare with them, right? 180 calories, 19 grams of protein, 5 grams of sugar, just 5 grams of net carbs. But listen to the flavors. Caramel brownie, apple almond crisps, salted caramel, double chocolate peanut butter brownie. Like, these aren't ice cream flavors, folks. This is an actual protein bar. And it's the very best protein bar on the market. Those, that other stuff can taste like cardboard. It can get like super brittle. You don't even know what you're eating. These are soft, chewy, absolutely delicious. Go to builtbar.com right now. Use the promo code LOCKED15 and you're going to get 15% off your next order. Got to go to builtbar.com. Got to use the promo code LOCKED15 and you're going to get 15% off at builtbar.com. All right, the end of the game got a little weird for the Nets. They had the blowout in hand. It got it to the Pacers, went on a little bit of a run. I believe they cut it to 9 at one point. I don't think that the Nets wanted to bring KD back in, although I could probably make a case that in terms of ramping up and make sure he's playoff ready, the minutes aren't the worst thing to happen here. So it's like it's one of these double-edged swords. You'd like to probably not risk, once the win is in hand, you'd probably not like to risk any further injury. At that point, the conditioning piece in terms of meaningful basketball is actually worth something as well. So you probably don't lose a ton by having to bring him back in the end, because the Pacers did go on a little bit of a run to sort of get the game close, but not to where you were actually ever really worried. They actually cut it to 7 at one point with about, 6 minutes left to go, something like that. It's right around when KD was like thinking about checking back in. They had it down. He has 113, 106, seven minutes to go. When the shots really weren't falling for the Nets, it looked a little bit out of sorts. That's okay. They were playing with mostly the role players at that point. I don't think the expectation level needs to be too high. You probably don't want the Pacers to get back into the game to that degree, but you're not going to really fault anybody. And then Kevin Durant checks back in, and they slowly just begin to continue pulling away, right? It's 113, 106, right around when he comes back in, and they ultimately win by 17. So they outscore him by 10 points over the course of the time remaining in the game, which is to be expected because that's basically what they were doing with KD on the court the entire game. I mean, going back to what we said before, he's plus 14 for the game. They had no answers for him. Once he comes back in, there's no worry at all at that point that the game is in doubt, because the Pacers did like basically all they could in that time. Then you bring KD back in, and it's kind of all over. So you're not. I saw some people on Twitter that were kind of sweating out the moments here, thinking that the it's probably just pessimistic Net fans, but you know, you're not really. I really at no point sat to myself and thought, oh man, this is going to be a real bummer to lose this game, because it misses the forest for the trees with in terms of personnel about who you have. Because as soon as you get KD back in the game, you just had such a massive advantage anyway that so many things would have to go wrong at that point to not be able to walk away with the victory. So overall, really great win. Friday's game against the Pacers, it'll be interesting to see what the Nets do here in this game on the back-to-back. I doubt KD plays. I don't think they've made a formal announcement. I apologize if they have. I didn't see that, and I didn't see that in the post-game presser either. If it comes out, then it wouldn't be surprising at all. Can't imagine he's really playing back-to-backs at this point. It'd be interesting to see what happens with Kyrie here. Again, it was mentioned as a groin injury. Sometimes not sure if that's injury management stuff, and that's just for the NBA folks to get a little injury tag on someone so you don't have to just flat-out call it rest or injury management at this point. So we'll see what happens to that. It was kind of one of those things that came about during the course of the day. With the Pacers, you're getting a pretty good team in terms of the backcourt firepower with Dame and CJ. They added Norman Powell at the trade deadline. They have a guy in Nurkic who can probably give them some problems here on the inside. He's been really good over the last few games, especially getting on the boards, been able to score as well. I've always thought that Nurk was their second best player before even better than CJ, and definitely more important to what they need to be able to do, especially at the defensive end for that team. And he's back and fully healthy. The minutes limit isn't totally off for him. He's really kind of only running around 30 minutes, although bigs like this don't really tend to run a huge, robust amount of minutes, too. I can see the Nets having problems with him on the interior, frankly. They've just shown they've had problems with opposing bigs still, and they're fine going small with Durant. They could change that up here if Durant doesn't play. Maybe they choose to go a little bit bigger. Nurk's not going to range out. Maybe we get a DJ sighting. You know, maybe he didn't play. He's been DMP CD for a few games now. Maybe this is the game you can consider rolling him back out there. If there was a game to do it, this is probably it with the way Nurk plays and how he doesn't range too far away from the basket. So if there was a game to get DJ back into the mix, I think this will be the one. Is he going to get the start? You probably have to. If he's going to play, you probably have to start him, right? I don't know what the use in bringing him off the bench would be. So I think that'll be interesting to see if that happens. If they get Kyrie back and they roll something like Kyrie, DJ, Harris, Landry, and Jeff Green, I could see a lineup like that. You get probably just enough perimeter defense to try, at least with Shamet, to try to slow down Dame a little bit, as difficult as that's going to be. CJ is going to give you problems as well. I could see the Nets having a little bit of a problem on the perimeter with this group, not to say the least, but this is just, it's one of the best backcourts in basketball. That's just how good the Pacers are right now. Damian Lillard is among the best perimeter players in basketball. CJ's been awesome this season when he's been healthy. So I can see this team giving them a little bit of an issue. Do they need to win? Nah, not right. Not really. Like, they're a game and a half up for the number one seed over Philly right now. Nothing at this point would I deem to be must-win scenarios. They continue to just win even though they're not must-wins. So that's been really nice. So every game that goes by, you can just say, okay, well, they have another win, so then the next game becomes a little less important. Yeah, but I think this is going to be a somewhat problematic game based on personnel, knowing what the Blazers have. Just have a couple things that a couple guys, like I said, Nurk and the guards. Jeez, I couldn't even think of that word. Have the guards that could give them problems. Probably see a pretty high scoring game here. It also could be a game that the Nets maybe just throw in the towel on. If Kyrie's not healthy enough and KD rests on the back-to-back, we know Harden's not going to be there. This could be a schedule loss kind of thing because they could play again on Sunday as well. So it could be a situation where they say, hey, look, let's not go crazy. We got the number one seed. We're a game and a half up. We don't need to go nuts here. This is going to be a tough game to win anyway against this Blazers team. With that in mind, maybe we just take the L and just, you know, live to fight another day. I'm not usually a proponent of throwing in the towel, but when you're on the trajectory the Nets are on right now, you also don't need to, you know, go balls to the wall to make sure you get another victory. That is going to be a difficult one, especially now because they just won another game against the Pacers. So will be interesting to see what happens here against Portland. Should be a good game if the Nets go at anything like full strength, but like I said, I don't think they're going to. Another win in the books. KD, awesome game. Johnson 2020, love to see it. Should be a good one against Portland. Going to get out of here. Like I said, solo podcast in the books while Adam covered some of that NFL draft. If you want to help the podcast, had an awesome week of downloads. Really appreciative when we see those numbers, people coming on board. It's awesome to see. So thankful for everyone that's jumped on this Nets podcast with us and listened and made their voices be heard and jumped into locker room when we're over there. We just love it all. So appreciative of everyone that's new around and the old folks as well. The way you can help the podcast, rate and review it wherever you listen, 5 stars or bust. Much appreciative. That helps us climb the charts. It helps the podcast get in front of more people, helps us be able to do it every single day like we love to do. So rate and review the podcast wherever you listen. We'll be back next week talking more Brooklyn Nets basketball. Have a great weekend, everybody.